Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. I'm going to read a few portions that may raise an eyebrow. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. So there you go. And before diving into this, I want to spend just a moment saying, do you realize that around our nation, in church after church after church, on this morning, they are reading the names of those who have passed from earth to heaven in the past year? And they sing for all the saints. And yeah, there's times and verses in that hymn where a whole lot of people are getting misty-eyed. And this is not only in our nation, it is all over the world, this day of commemoration, celebration, and some tears. Meanwhile, all over in this world, there is other things happening, and one of those other things gave rise to the title for the sermon, Saying the Hidden Part Out Loud. You see, there is a term in politics that gives a really interesting angle on how to look at the Beatitudes. The term in politics is saying the quiet part out loud. And those in politics define it as it's used when somebody from the other side of a question or of an electoral race says something out loud that was not supposed to be exposed, was supposed to be kept secret until the bill was passed or the election was over, but oh, they spilled the beans. They said it at the wrong time. They revealed a thing too early. And think about this then. Right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, almost right at the beginning of his ministry, what does Jesus do? He says the hidden part out loud. Oh. There's something hidden here. And what is hidden and why is hidden, we'll hold off for a moment or two or five. But notice, Jesus comes into the world to change things, in fact, to change everything. So the verse from Revelation 21 says, "Behold, I make all things new." And the Beatitudes are not given to explain what we see around us in the world. The Beatitudes are put out there in order to contradict everything. They are the Word of God come into our world to uproot everything, everything entirely, and to replant something completely different. And that something is the kingdom of God, and that kingdom of God comes to us embodied in Jesus Christ. It is God in our human flesh bursting into our world and bringing and saying the hidden things. Which then is why I can quote a fellow named Lisher, his last name, saying, "The witness always finds himself slightly out of sync with society, proclaiming truths that nobody wants to hear, and engaging in acts of faithfulness that no one understands." Are we out of sync with society? Lord, let us be. That's also why some of the common translations and interpretations of the Beatitudes really don't make it. One of them in particular translated blessed as happy. So those verses I read at the beginning. Happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are the meek. Happy are you when others revile you. No. Then there's another take on the Beatitudes that breaks the word beatitude in part, apart, and calls them the Beatitudes. Be this, be that. It's the secret to living a fulfilling life. No, that's not what Jesus brings. Again, what Jesus says when he says blessed are, it is in complete defiance of everything you see around you in the world. Why it makes sense to say, blessed are those who die in the Lord. Because Jesus is bringing a truth and bringing a kingdom and bringing eternal life. Very different from anything that's going on in the world, and why we have All Saints Day and why we name those who have passed away from our congregation. Because in the middle of the sorrow, we're celebrating. We confess blessings brought by Jesus. Blessings that the world does not see and it cannot see. Blessings spoken by Jesus with words that make their way into the soul and teach us things that the world cannot understand. Blessings guaranteed to us by Jesus as eternal blessings. In order to understand the Beatitudes, you have to turn right back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 1, where God says, let there be light, and there is light. His word causes it. His word makes it happen. His word changes reality. And so the words of Jesus, they are life-giving, bringing salvation and forgiveness of sins and the new birth and the resurrection of the dead and planting eternity within us. Well, the words from Genesis 1, they were formed and fashioned into the reality of the world and the universe. The words blessed by Jesus, well, they are pronounced by him and then they are carved into wood and flesh. And there we're talking about Calvary, the hill outside Jerusalem, where the word blessed, pronounced over us, was engraved in the palms of Jesus. That verse from Isaiah, behold, I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. So Jesus says things that look like they are not and cannot be. And by speaking, he makes them so. A beatitude is not a statement of fact or a telling about hidden wisdom or what should be and could be if we just. Instead, it is the word of God bursting into the world, bringing light into our darkness, life into our death, rewriting the entirety of reality. It is spoken by Jesus and brought to us into being through the cross and the empty tomb. So again, we have a day called All Saints Day that is a time to celebrate and name the saints from our congregation who have now joined in the heavenly congregation, singing the praises of God, rejoicing in his goodness. And so it is the hidden things. Jesus speaks the hidden things out loud. And the reason for that is because the kingdom of God is a reality. It is not something that is to come. The kingdom of God is and is being formed up by Jesus, and there is two parts of the kingdom of God, those in heaven and those on earth. And frankly, it is a bit stunning and quite remarkable, thinking on this and realizing it is really amazing that God could do his great work of salvation right out there in the open, in a way that the whole world knows about, knowing about the birth of Jesus and calling it Christmas, knowing about the cross of Jesus and knowing that he died, knowing about Easter and the claims of the Christian church for 2,000 years that Christ has risen from the dead. And all of that's right out in the open, and yet most of the world does not see or hear or understand, and it is a hidden thing. All of those blessings. And so the world goes its own way, thinks the very opposite of the Beatitudes, carries on with its business that will end. And Jesus speaks his blessing. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. The difference is striking. We know what happens to the meek in this world. They get walked on. And it doesn't make any sense to be meek, does it? In fact, you could write a whole set of anti-beatitudes for modern man. The clever, the inventive, the assertive, the well-satisfied, the ruthless, not the merciful, the good-looking, the spiritually indifferent, those who know where to put a limit on religion. For they shall not be called fanatics. And yet we are dealing with a Christ, a Savior, the Son of God, who speaks a quite different truth. He grabs a hold of the reality of this world and he changes it, because he will make it conform to the truth of his cross and his empty tomb. He turns everything around. Jesus speaks the hidden part over us. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. He speaks the hidden part over our sorrows. On that day, your sorrow will turn to joy. He speaks the hidden part over our loved ones. They will return. And though it looks like the exact opposite of common sense, well, it is. And there's only one way it can be so, and that's because Jesus will make it so, bringing a secret wisdom hidden deep inside the will of God from before the creation, revealed by the Holy Spirit, which is that God has revealed his gospel and all who believe have eternal life. And the Apostle Paul has to say, God has chosen the foolish things and the weak things and the things that are not to shame the wise and the strong. He will make it so. Even if the whole world rises up and tries to stop it, he has conquered sin and death, and Jesus gets to say how things will be put back together. And what's more, He shows the pattern in himself. It is true for us because it is true first for Jesus. Poor in spirit. As he goes to the cross with the sin of the whole world on himself, poor in spirit. Mourning over our lost condition, meek, stooping down to wash the feet of the disciples, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for a righteousness that he then puts on others. He makes sinners holy, merciful, pure in heart, making peace between God and man. And then Jesus calls us to himself and calls us so closely to himself, connecting us with him. And we are blessed because we are connected to Jesus. He calls you and puts his word within your heart. He calls you and speaks his word over your entire life, forgiven and blessed and having eternity. He calls you to come to the table and puts his risen body and his blood shed for you into your mouth, into your body, joining you to him and him to you, and transforming our whole existence. When Jesus pronounces the blessing, you are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.